Morning, everyone. Spoke a little while ago, before Christmas, about people encountering Jesus and leaving behind their nets. We looked in particular at Andrew and Peter and the woman at the well. In each case, a brief encounter is enough to change their lives completely. To change the way they see the world, to change their frame of reference. Jesus meets them in different ways, but each finds something new and something unique and precious in their encounter. Two challenges in that message were what made us leave our nets. What will make other people leave their nets? And I want to bring us back to that message this morning. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I just pray that you take whatever words I've prepared, whatever words I've got, and that you would make them live. Father, our words are empty without you anyway. You are the word of life, the word of creation, the beginning and the ending. So, Father, we commit this into your hands, Lord. I pray, Father, that you make it live in the ears of everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name. So, shall we look at John chapter 4? I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, starting at verse 3. So he, Jesus that is, left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. Now, we understand that most of the women at that time would have come to get water early in the morning before the heat of the day when it was still cool. But this woman has come out at midday and she's alone. So for some reason, she is isolated from the other women of the village. And Jesus speaks to her. He asks her a favor. He offers, as it were, significance to her. So, verse 9. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "The well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." So Jesus asked her for a drink. And she thinks this is strange. He's a man, she's a woman. So that's a bit of a social taboo, I'm guessing. So it's unusual. He's a Jew, she's a Samaritan, and there's hostility there. She thinks it's odd that Jesus should speak to her, but she has no problem speaking to him. She's making conversation. And Jesus might have closed it down. "Why all the questions? I only asked for a drink." But instead, he feeds into her curiosity. If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. That's a really strange answer. She can't possibly resist it. "You don't have a bucket," she says. "The well's deep. What are you on about anyway? And do you think you're greater than Jacob?" Well, it all comes out in one breath, so to speak. And Jesus replies with a beautiful poetic invitation about eternal life. "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Verse 15, "Give me some of that," she replies, "and I won't have to keep coming here." She's brash. She's forward. She's a bit chippy. While she questions Jesus speaking to her, she has no problems at all speaking to him. Jesus feeds her spiritual truths. She keeps swerving around them and bringing it back to this dusty village of Sychar. So Jesus changes track. Goes right through the middle of her, right through her heart. Verse 16. "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. You aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me why it is that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here in Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped." Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in that mountain, Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about it, for salvation is through the Jews. The time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah. Go and get your husband." Jesus calls her out. This is the thing that has dominated her life and left her drawing water in the midday heat on her own. This is her point of hurt. And she can't talk about it now, other than to acknowledge that Jesus is speaking the truth. "You're a prophet." And she swerves again. "You must be a prophet," she says. And then she goes on in the same breath to talk about the Jews and the Samaritans' religious practices, which mountain they should worship on. She thinks that this is a red herring to get Jesus out of her personal life. How many times have we come up with one of those? But really, this is where Jesus was going all along. "Time is coming," he tells her. "Indeed, it's here now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Father's looking for those who worship him in that way, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." It doesn't matter which mountain you go to, because God doesn't live in a man-made temple. That's Acts 7, 48-50. The woman goes back to the village when the disciples come back. It doesn't look like a very promising encounter. Every point Jesus landed, she ducked away from. He could be forgiven for feeling frustrated, really. But later on in the chapter, she comes back with a large proportion of the village. And they come to Jesus and believe. I want to draw two things out of this today, very briefly. First, like this woman, we need to have a personal, one-to-one encounter with Jesus. Something that will grab our attention. Something that will make us, as it were, set aside our water bottles and change the way we are. Jesus cared about her. He cared that she was lonely and separated from everyone else. He gave her the space to be and to express herself before he put his finger right on her point of hurt. And he revealed himself to her, a Samaritan woman, as the Messiah. We saw in that last talk I gave about people leaving their nets, Jesus calling Andrew and Peter. Andrew was a disciple of John. Obviously, you know, a man with a sense of wanting to follow God. And they were apostles. Jesus called them to be apostles. And Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah to them. Both of them at one time say, "We found the Messiah." But here is a woman with a history of broken relationships who apparently nobody wants anything to do with, on her own, in the middle of the day, in the heat, drawing water from a well. A Samaritan. Jesus is a Jew, so there's this whole kind of ethnic thing going on. History of tension and hostility between these two peoples. And Jesus reveals himself to her as the Messiah. He's not just the Messiah who's coming to save the world. He is her Messiah. He's the one sent by God to her now. She's just doing a very mundane, ordinary thing, drawing water from a well. And Jesus turns up and reveals himself as her Savior. Lots of people follow Jesus from a distance. They might associate themselves with him, call themselves Christians. They might even go to church, except not today. Others know the stories. They've perhaps put them on a dusty shelf somewhere because they don't seem relevant. I pray, my heartfelt prayer today is that you will know Jesus for yourself. He is seeking your heart. He wants to be your Messiah, your Savior, your healer, and your friend. Which brings me to the second point. Worship doesn't have to look especially holy. This woman has a point of worship with, and it doesn't look like worship, does it? Jesus keeps landing these spiritual truths and she keeps ducking away from them, changing the subject. Doesn't look like worship. But she meets a man who opens her heart up. She didn't need to go to Jerusalem to worship or Mount Gerizim. As it happened, she met Jesus and had a transforming encounter outside a village near a well in the middle of nowhere. And out of that worship, out of that contact with Jesus, that point of contact, the rest of the village came to know him too. And they all had their own encounter with Jesus. Verse 42, a little bit further on, it says this: "Now we believe, not because of what you told us, the woman, but because we've heard him for ourselves. And now we know that he is indeed the Saviour of the world." They had their own encounter with Jesus. She had an encounter, they had their encounter. We need our own encounter with Jesus. We have this very strange arrangement today, and it feels uncomfortable. We haven't got the technology right yet, obviously. But we're working on it. It's weird. But we can meet Jesus here, and you can meet him exactly where you are, in your family, in your home. Maybe you're on your own and you're feeling isolated too. Maybe you're worried about people. Maybe you have concerns about family, friends, loved ones, people that you can't get to at the moment. Jesus loves you too, and he has living water for you. Not sparkling water from Tesco's, if there's any left. "But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." We need this right now. The whole world and our way of life is under threat. Maybe you're isolated, lonely, and vulnerable. Maybe you're worried about the people you love. Meet Jesus where you are. Come to him with honesty, in spirit, and in truth. He will give you a new kind of life, fresh, bubbling spring flowing up to eternal life. "Come to me," Jesus says, "and I will give you rest." We don't have to worship in a particular place, much as it might be nice to do so. But the outcome of this worship will be that we are able to give life and hope to others who also desperately need it. Right now, I'm going to finish by reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. "When I think of all this, I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Amen. Please do stay in touch with us. Stay in touch through the website. Stay in touch through the Facebook page and the YouTube channel.